Today's Shi'ez Masechta Yuma, Daf Tezvav. We will begin on Daf Tez Yud Dalet Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom, Lememra. In our previous Shi'ez, the Gemara asked a question. From our Mishnah, it's very clear that our Mishnah on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph teaches us that the Ketoris, that the bringing of the Ketoris comes before the Hatavas HaNeiros, before working with the Neiros in the Beis HaMikdash. Yet, first the Gemara asks from a Mishnah Masechta Tamid, and then the Gemara asks from a Mishnah later in our Perek, where it's clear that the Menorah came first. So the Gemara's question is, what is it? Is it the Menorah first, or is it the Ketoris first? And the Gemara Abai gave an answer that in doing that Tavas HaNeiros, there were actually two parts. There were the Hatavas Chamish Neiros, the Hatavah of the 5 candles, and then the Hatavah Shtei Neiros. And Abai says that the Hatavah, the Ketoris, took place in between those two acts of Hatavah. So now, according to Abai's answer, both Mishnayos can be right. Our Mishnah, which says that Ketoris came first, speaks about the Hatavah before the last, the Ketoris before the last two Neiros that you did Hatavah on, that Hatavah was done on. The Mishnah that says Hatavah took place first is referring to the 5 candles that came before the Ketoris. Ask the Gemara on this Teretz, the Memra, the Ketoris Mafsukahu. So we're saying that the Hatavah of the 5 and 2 were separated with the Ketoris in between. Ask the Gemara, Vabai Masada Maroch Mishmei the Gemara. Abaya taught us the exact order of what they did in the Beis HaMikdash as they learned in the Yeshiva. And it says, Dama Tamid. And there, Abaya says that the Shechita of the Karma Tamid and the Zrika of the Karma Tamid, Mafsikulhu, was what separated the two acts of Avtava. So we have a question. Was it this? Or was it the Karban Tamid, or was it the Ketoris Amri? So the answer is Loikasha. Hahila Abishol. When Abaya gave us that order, he was following the opinion of Abishol, Vahal Rabbanan. And the other opinion is the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Mishnah that says it was the Dama Tamid that separated is following the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa. Loyetiv. As Haneris, that the halach is don't clean the Neiris, Vakach Yakter, and then do the Haktara. El Yakter, first do the Haktara, Vakach Yetiv, and then do the Hatova. Abishol Oimer, Meit Vakach Mahater. He says, first do all the Hatova, and then do the Haktara. So ask the Gemara. So according to him, it was not that Ketoris that divided the two Hatovas. Ask the Gemara, my Tamed Abishol, why does Abishol actually hold that the Ketoris was only brought after they did Hatova of all the Neiros? Answers the Gemara, because Abishol's opinion is the Ksiv, because the Torah, when it speaks about the Ketoris Shel Shachar, the Torah says, V'hikdol of Aaron Ketoris Asamim, Ba'boike Ba'boike Be'tivas HaNeiros. First, says the Torah, do the Hatavas HaNeiros for Hadar, and only afterwards Yakdirena do the Ketoris. Ask the Gemara, the Rabbanan, who disagree, and the Rabbanan hold that that Ketoris was done between the two Hatavas, Ma'akam Rachmana. How will they explain the Pasuk? Says the Gemara, they say that the Pasuk means to say, Beidin Hatovah, when Hatovah is taking place, Teimak the Ketoris, the Ketoris should already be burnt. That means, how could that be possible? The way it could be possible is by doing the Ketoris in between the two Hatovahs. And the Rabbanan go on to say, Dilei Teimahachi, for if we will not explain the Pasuk that way, when we speak about the Hatovah and the Ketoris of Ben Abayim, and there the Pasuk says, the Ksiv, Ubahalas Aaron Saneris Beit Abayim Yakdirenu. Hachinami, say the Rabbanan Tabishol, Are you going to explain that pasuk, the Bereisha Madlik, that first do all of the Hatova and lighting all the candles, and only afterwards Hodamaktik Torahs, and only afterwards you want to suggest we will do the Torahs? Says the Gemara, the Hodamaktik Torahs Ben Abayim, only afterwards we'll do the Torahs Ben Abayim. Say the Rabbanim the Chitem Echanami. And maybe indeed that is the opinion of Abishol. And maybe Abishol indeed holds that first we'll do all of the menorah, and only after we finish everything we need to do with the menorah will we do that tovus, the iktiris. For Tanya, ask the Gemara, that is a position, say the Rabbanan to Abishol, that is not tenable. Because the Pasuk says regarding that locus haneris, Yaruch oisoi aron uvonov me'erev ha'boiker. Says the Gemara that the Torah is teaching us, Tainle Medasai, put enough oil into the menorah, Shedadalechas Vailechas Kolalaila, that it should burn all night long, the Aravad Boiker. It should light all night from the evening till the morning. Rashi explains that what the Chacham said is that there's a certain amount of oil. That's the amount of oil you need that the menorah should be on all night long. And Rashi, of course, says, but that doesn't really work because there are longer winter nights and there are shorter summer nights. So how do we reconcile? So Rashi explains, the way to understand is that in the winter, put in enough oil that should be on for the long winter night, and if in the summer there'll be extra oil, then it'll go into the day as well. The Tosfos Yeshayahu quotes, however, the Rivah. He says that no, they only wanted to have enough oil that it should light during the night. So the way they were able to do that, says Tosfos Yeshayahu, is it was dependent on the width of the wicks. In the winter, they had thinner wicks, and therefore it was on all night. In the summer, when there are shorter nights, they have thicker wicks, and they were able to figure it out that it should end, that the candles should get extinguished in the morning. And in fact, when we learned Masechta Shkolim, we learned when we were speaking about the various individuals who were appointed to different positions in the Beis Hamikdash, we said there was a person appointed on the wicks, and we asked the question, what kind of a position is that to be in charge of the wicks? But according to this, it's very understandable. You needed to have somebody who knew to make the exact type of wick given the night. So here it says, that it should be enough to light to be on all night long. Davar Acher, says the Gemara, another pshat in that pasuk. Merva Boiker. What do we learn from the pasuk Erev Boiker? Ein l'chaveir de shekshirim Erev Boiker el zubavad. None of the avoiders that are done by day may be done after this avoider. So we see that nothing may be done after the menorah. So Rabbanan are asking to Abishol, if k'tiris is always done after the menorah, but here the pasuk says that after the menorah nothing may be done. How do we have to explain the pasuk by the evening? There is no choice but to explain the pasuk that the Torah is teaching us. When you're lighting the menorah, the Torah should already have been offered. Hachinami, say the Rabbanan to Abishol, in the morning as well, the way to explain the pasuk is be'edin hatova te'maktik Torah. And not like you said, that all of the hatova saneris takes place and only afterwards do we do the Torah. So how does Abishol defend himself? Abishol amaloch, Abishol is going to defend himself. Shani hasam, when we speak about that locus nairus by night, the tsiv oisa. And from this, we indeed learn that the last avoided that was done every day was that locus haneiris. But that is by the hadlocka in the evening. But says Abishol, that has nothing to do in the morning. So Taisus Masechet Menachos asks a question. Here the Gemara is saying, and it's actually not just saying it, it's saying that everybody agrees that in the evening, that Taurus, the lighting of the menorah was last, and the reason it was last, because nothing may be done after that. So Tosfos asks, we know that Taurus, Avram, and Bedarim were done all night long. So how can we say that nothing was done after the menorah? So Tosfos Yishonim says a teretz that we're speaking here about avoiders that are done inside the Beis HaMikdash. Anything that's done outside the Beis HaMikdash is maybe done after the menorah. But here we're speaking about the different things that were done in the Beis HaMikdash. Ketoros is done in the Beis HaMikdash. Menorah is done in the Beis HaMikdash. The Haktaros, Avram, and Bedarim are done outside. Another, and that's why the Karm Pesach, we learned the Masechta Pesachim, was also brought after the menorah. How could it be on Erev Pesach in the afternoon? How could that be? Again, because the Karm Pesach was not offered inside the Beis HaMikdash. The Karm Pesach was offered outside the Beis HaMikdash. We're referring here to different avoiders that were done only in the Beis HaMikdash. Another pshat that I saw is that here we're speaking about avoiders that are supposed to be done by day. And what the Gemara is teaching us, says the Siach Yitzchak, is that any avoider that's supposed to be, when we speak about the different avoiders that are supposed to be done by day, the menorah is the avoider that comes last. Haktaras Avrim is not an avoider that's a day avoider. The Haktaras Avrim is a night avoider. Night avoiders, of course, may be done after the menorah. So our Gemara is teaching us, we just finished learning the machloikis of Abba Shaul and the Chachamim, what was the proper order. Many people, as they say the Kabbonis every morning before davening, say this Gemara, Abaye have Masad to say that Marocha. Abaye told us the order that was followed every day in the Beis HaMikdash, Valibet Abba Shaul. So the Shalas Tshuvas Yosef Oimitz, Simon Nun Aleph, asks a question. We look at the Rambam paskins like the Rabbonin in this machloikus between Abba Shaul and the Rabbonin. So if every morning we're going to say the Kabbonis, why do we specifically say something which is not according to the Halacha? So the Ritva, so he quotes Ritva. The Ritva says that we want to learn from here that even something which is a machloikus, we who learn Gemara every day, so every day is machloikus, and the only one opinion is the correct opinion. Even though one opinion is the correct opinion, that doesn't change that we have to understand and learn all of the opinions. So every morning, as we begin saying the Kabbonis, we go out of our way to say that the halacha is to say over what Abba Shaul said, even though the halacha isn't like Abba Shaul, to teach us that Torah is not limited. Learning Torah is not limited only to the opinion that the halacha follows. Learning Torah includes learning all of the opinions. As we said earlier, at the beginning of the shir, our Gemara yesterday asked the question. From our Mishnah, it seems that the Torah took place before the Atavos Aneiros, and that the Mishnah, Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, seems to teach us that Atavos Aneiros took place before the Ketoros. And Abaye gave an answer that the Ketoros took place between the two sets of Atava. First they did Atava Chomish Neiros, then they did the Ketoros, and then they did the Atava Shtei Neiros, and that's why both Mishnais could be reconciled. But it represents that we have to say that the Mishnais are following the opinion of Abba Shaul. Rapop Amma Loikasha. The way to reconcile the two Mishnais is saying, HaRabbonin, our Mishnah follows the opinion of the Rabbonin, that as we said, that we did the Atavos Chomish Neiros, and then we did the Ketoros. Ha Abba Shaul, the Mishnah that we learned later is following the opinion of Abba Shaul. Says the Gemara, B'mai Akimtel Masnis and the Hacha. So how are we explaining our Mishnah? The way we're explaining our Mishnah, that's following the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Mishnah on Daf Chaf Hei speaks about the pious, that they did the Geirul, and what came first and what came second, that's going to be follow the opinion of Abishol. But ask the Gemara, Eima Seifa, why? There's another Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. The Mishnah there discusses how the order took, what they did with the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And the Mishnah says, Havilah is Tamid. They brought to the Kohen Gadol the Kohen Tamid on Yom Kippurim. Kartzai. Normally, when somebody does Shechita, as the Gemara teaches us in Masech Techulin, the preferable way of doing Shechita is cut on an animal, is completely severing the two simonim. Here, they only did Kartzai. He did the Kohen cut most of the Kana and most of the Veshit, Umarik, Achra Shechita. And a different Kohen completed the Shechita al Yodai. He didn't do it on by himself. So the Gemara is going to ask, that why did somebody else have to complete the Shechita? The Gemara, Masech Techulin, teaches us that if you shecht roiv of the two simonim by an animal, it's a valid Shechita. So why did somebody have to complete it? So the Gemara says, mitzvah l'marek, that even though the Shechita is kosher when most of the simonim are severed, and that's, as we just explained, what the Kohen Gadol did, there's a mitzvah to completely sever the simonim. Because when you completely sever the simonim, it will help that all of the dam, all of the blood in the animal will come out. Why did the Kohen Gadol himself not complete the Shechita? Because since the Kohen Gadol had to quickly take the mizrak, the pan in which he accepted the dam, the kabbalah sadam, because on Yom Kippur, the halacha is that all the avoidus on Yom Kippur, certainly most of the avoidus Yom Kippur, must be done exclusively by the Kohen Gadol. So he didn't have time to himself complete the Shechita. He took the pan to get the dam, and somebody else completed the Shechita. And moreover, even though, as I just said, the avoida on Yom Kippur is supposed to be done by the Kohen Gadol, since completing the Shechita is not essential, that did not have to be done by Kohen Gadol. There was a different Kohen who completed the Shechita. Umirik acha Shechita al Yodai, somebody else did the completion on his hand. Nichnas, then the Kohen Gadol went into the Heichel, lahakter aktiris, or lahetav seminiris. So here it clearly says that the aktiris ktiris comes before that tarvis neiris. Whose opinion is that? The Rabbanim. Because as we said earlier, according to Abishol, all of the Ketiris was done only after that Tav of all of the Neiris. So ask the Gemara, what we have here is Reisha, our Mishnah, the Sefer, and the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph are following the opinion of the Rabbanan. Mitziosoi, the Mishnah on Daf Chav Hei, is Abishol. So the Gemara says it seems difficult to say that the Mishnayis are jumping from one to another, whose opinion they're following. Amlach Rapapa. So Rapapa says that isn't troubling. In Reisha v'Sefer Rabbanan, the way we're going to understand the Mishnah is that the Mishnah here and the Mishnah Daf Lamed Aleph are following the opinion of the Rabbanan, and Mitziosai, the Mishnah on Daf Chav Hei, is following the opinion of Abishol. Says the Gemara, so Mishnah Mabayloi Amlach Rapapa. Now we can well understand why Abai didn't agree with Rapapa's teretz, because he found it difficult to accept that the Reisha v'Sefer Rabbanan, that the first Mishnah and the last Mishnah will be following the opinion of Rabbanan, or Mitziosa Abishol, and that the middle Mishnah is following Abishol. Jumping back and forth is not something that he was able to accept. He wasn't ready to accept that approach. Ask the Gemara, El Rapapa, my Tamala Makabaya. Why didn't the Rapapa explain like Abaya? And therefore, if you would have said the parents of Abaya, then we wouldn't have to go back and forth. Answers the Gemara, Amalach, Tanabaresha Atavish Deinaris. He says, the Abaya's teretz doesn't seem to make sense. Does the Tana first speak about Atavish Deinaris? Because according to Abaya, our Mishnah is speaking that the last two Neiris were done, and then the Ketiris. For Hodor, Atavish Chemish Neiris, and only in the coming Mishnais do we speak about Tavish Chemish Neiris. As we've been discussing, the Tavish Hei Neiris, the Tav of the five Neiris, came before that Tav of the two Neiris. For Abaya, so how will Abaya answer to that? Amalach, he says, that's not a difficulty. The purpose of the Mishnais says Abaye in our perek, is Arui Ba'almahu de Kamari. It wants to teach us the very general rules. And want to teach us that what does the Kohen have to do during these 7 days as he's preparing for the Yom Kippur? What does he have to do to get experience in the Avodah for Yom Kippur? And therefore, our Mishnah doesn't focus on what is the proper order. The Sidra, the proper order, the Chamish Neiris coming before the Shtei Neiris, is only taught Hadatanilei. In other words, as Rashi explains, our Mishnah is only coming to teach us what different avoidus did the Kohen Gadol have to do before Yom Kippur. And the Seder, the order, is not the focus in our Perek. There, in the coming Perek, where we're starting to discuss the avoiding Yom Kippur, and of course, the order in which the avoidus was done is critical. That's why there we had to speak about the Chamish Neiris before the Shtei Neiris. So, says the Sikh Yitzchak, according to Abaya, according to Rashi, the entire purpose of this Gemara was just to teach us how do we reconcile the various Mishnais. Tosfos says, Arui Ba'amu the Kamari was that the Gemara is teaching us that the Koyin, Arui Ba'amu Kamari, he didn't do that Tavis Chamish Neiris. Since the entire purpose of the Kohen Gadol doing these different activities during these 7 days was primarily for the purpose of practice, so therefore, the Kohen Gadol, Arui Kamari, he would give direction to different Aram to do the Hatovas Chamish Neiris, and then he himself, the only Hatova that he did during these 7 days were the Hatovas of Shtei Neiris. So now it's very geschmack. Our Mishnah is only speaking about that Tavis Shtei Neiris. Why didn't I first speak about that Tavis Chamish Neiris? Because our Mishnah's focus, says Tosfos, on what the Kohen Gadol, our Perek, our Mishnah, is only focused on what the Kohen Gadol himself did. And when we speak about what the Kohen Gadol himself did, he only did that Tavis Shtei Neiris. He did not do that Tavis Shtei Neiris. Gufo. So we discussed in our previous shir, the Mishnah Masechta Tamid, that flamer on the base, that how was the carbon, the Zrikas Adam of the carbon Tamid, how was it done? So we learned the Baloi, the Kohen who did the Kabbal Saddam on the carbon Tamid all year round, Baloi Lekar Mizrachot Tzvonis, would come to the northeast corner of the Mizbeach. He would stand on the floor of the Azara, for Noisnan, and he would put it, the blood on Mizrachot Tzvonis, on the northeast corner. And very often we speak about Hakavas, when we speak about Zrika Saddam, the way it's explained is they did one Zrika that should hit both sides. And that's what he did here as well. He stood there and threw the blood against the corner of the Mizbeach, and it would reach the east side, the dam would touch the east side of the Mizbeach and the north side of the Mizbeach. Then he would walk around towards the right, as we will discuss. He walked around to the right till he reached the corner, the Marovas Droimus corner, the southwest corner. And again, for Neisen, Marovas Droimus, and he would spritz the blood that it should hit the two sides, the west side and the south side. And the Brisa, in explaining that Mishnah, says, Rishimin ish ha-mitzvah mishana. Tamid. He would say that the way the blood was applied to the Mizbeach by the carbon Tamid was different than it was applied by other carbon oilers. Balal Kem Roimus, he said that when the Kohen reached the northeast corner, Noisam Mizrachot Tzvonis, he did it like we said, he threw it in a way it should hit both sides. But then, he says, Maravas Roimus, when he came to the southwest corner, Noisam Marava, first he put the dam on the west side, and then he put it on the east side, not throw it in a way that it should hit both sides. Ask the Gemara, my Tamid Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. We know that a carbon oiler, as we just said, the dam is always applied by throwing it one direction, in this way that it should hit the two sides. But here, he's suggesting that that was only done on one side, not on two sides. What pushed Reb Shimon HaMitzvah to say this is because Amakra, the Torah says, This is regarding the kabbanas that were brought on Rosh Chodesh. V'sir izim echad l'chatus l'shem al oilus hatamid yosav v'niskoy. Oilahi, the Torah says that the karmat tamid is an oila. However, Om Rachmana, the Torah teaches us over by masa chatus. We should treat it somewhat like a karmat chatus. How can we do that? Is it a karmat oila or is it a karmat chatus? How could that be done? Says the Gemara, Noisin, on one corner, the northeast corner, we put the blood on the Mizbeach, Achashishtayim, one throwing that hits both sides, as all carbon oilers are brought, Kamasa oil. And then on the other, then on this southwest corner, we do it Shtayim Shem Shnayim, we throw it at two separate applications, like it's done by every carbon chattis. So, of course, explained the Achronim, that the carbon tamid is called a carbon oila. It's called a carbon oila because it's completely burnt on the mizbeach, that just like all carbon oilas. In this way, it's considered the pasuk. In this way, it's considered like a carbon chatas. So now we need to understand what. Now we understand why Rav Shimon HaMitzvah is explained that that's the way the carbon tamid's dam was applied to the mizbeach. What will the Chachamim do with this pasuk? So, the Arishayim that say, quoting the Ravid, that the Karm Tamid requires that the Shiari Adam, the leftover blood, should be spilled on the side of Mizbeach, on the base of the Mizbeach. All other carbon oilers don't have that din. And that's how we fulfill what the pasuk says, that this carbon oiler is somewhat like a Karm Chattis. Mesh Chachma says that this pasuk has nothing to do with the Karban Tamid. As I said, the pasuk is actually speaking about the Rosh Chodesh, the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. And it's coming to teach us what we do with the Avrim of the Karban Musaf, that they're put in the same place on the Mizbeach as the Avrim of the Karban Chatas, not like the Avrim of the Karban Oilah. So, the Gvuras Ari says that this pasuk, how can we say that this pasuk is speaking about the Karban Tamid? We're here speaking about the Karban Musaf, which took place much later. So how are we applying this pasuk to the Karban Tamid? So he says that when the Torah speaks about Karban Musaf on Yontif, the Torah says, Mevad Oilos HaTamid, and the Mevad Oilos HaTamid. And here, the Torah used a different wording. Here, the Torah said, Al Oilos HaTamid, to teach us that the Oilos HaTamid has to be done differently than all other Oilos. Ask the Gemara, if you are saying that the carbon Oilos Tamid should be brought not completely like a regular carbon Oilos, so why don't we say, V'litin Shtayim Shen Arba Kamasa Oilos, first put on these two corners two applications that will hit the two sides, and then arba shen arba, and then do four applications on each side as it is done by a chatos, and you'll be able to have perfect way that it's done. And of course, I saw that the Mefarshim say that also the nafkamina will be that the carbon oiler, the dam, is put below the chutas sikra, below the line that separates the upper half and the lower half. The Karban Chatas, the dam is put on the upper half of the Mizbeach, and that too is going to be done here. First put the dam on the Mizbeach the way we do it by all Karban Oilers, including where on the Mizbeach, and then put the dam like we do by every Karban Chatas, including the where we put every Karban Chatas. Answers the Gemara, the reason that he can't say that that's what the Torah means to say, because we don't have any precedent that we have a complete Zrikas Adam and then have another Zrikas Adam, which you are suggesting is should happen here. Ask the Gemara. So, and what you're suggesting, do we have? That we ever find a situation that some of the dam is put on the Mizbeach like a carbon oiler, and some of the dam is put on like the Karban Chatas. So if you're looking for precedents, we don't have a precedent for that either. Ella, a karchan, a kishav, a kasav. What's the answer to that question? Because this is what the Torah told us to do. Hachinami will say the same thing here. Bal Karcha Hikishim HaKosov, and the Torah will tell us that first do the dam like a carbon oilo, and then do the dam like a carbon chatos. Answers the Gemara. Hosom, when we do half like an oilo and half like a chatos, we didn't. It's not so obvious that it's being done like a karmen chatos. Pisuk ba'almahi. It's just not doing it at one time. It's not so obvious that we're treating this karmen oilo like a karmen chatos. The Ritva says that if only one of the two applications, one of the corners is being done that way, it's not such a significant difference than all other carbon oil. I saw other Rishonim explain that even though we're putting it on one corner like a carbon chatos, it wasn't exactly like a carbon chatos. Because by carbon chatos, when they put the dam on each side separately, they used to also put, the kohen would put his finger into the bowl of dam separately for each nesina, for each application. Here, even though, as we're learning according to Shimon HaMitzvah, the dam was put on the southwest corner on each side separately, it was done with only by the kohen only putting his finger into the blood once. So it wasn't so noticeable that it's being treated like a karmen chatos. But as the Gemara is, as we've mentioned earlier, that one of the differences between the carbon oil and the carbon chatos is that the blood of the carbon oil is put on the lower half of the Mizbeach and the carbon chatos is put on the upper half. So ask the Gemara, Nesav Achas Shishtayim Lamato, Kamaisa Oil. So why don't we say that when we put the dam on the northeast corner, like an oil, we should put it on the upper, on the lower half, v'shtayim shemala, and when we're shtayim shem shtayim, and then when we're coming to the southwest corner, and we're putting the dam on each side separately, it should be done k'masa chatos. It should be done like a chatos on the upper half of the mizbeach. Answers the Gemara, l'metzino domim, there is no precedent for dam should be chatzi l'mala v'chatzi l'mata, that some dam should be put on the upper half of the mizbeach, and some dam should be put on the lower half of the mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, v'loy, there is no such precedent. The Torah says, v'hizu memenu, we're going to learn a Mishnah later in Masechta Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, that when the Kohen Gadol, as he entered to the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the dam apar, the Pasuk says, v'hizu memenu, he should throw the dam on the Kapyrus, achas lamala v'sheva lamata. And the Gemara says, the Gemara is assuming what that means is that we should put some, the first dam on the upper half of the papyrus and some dam on the bottom half of the papyrus. So we see that there is a precedent for doing some on, in different places. Says the Gemara, that's not what was meant. What meant is kematzlef. When they did the hazor, they did the first hazor, we're holding the hand in one direction and the other hand in the other seven were done the other way. My kematzlef, ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Machvi Rav Yehuda kemagda. Rav Yehuda demonstrated to his Talmidim, it's like the Shliach Bezdin, when he would administer Malkus, he would go and hit on the back of the person who was receiving the Malkus. Here too, that's what he did, going down, but not dividing upper half and lower half. What, why, and therefore, why was the Matana Rishonah different than the other Matanas? Because the Matana Rishonah was the way the Kohen Gadol held his hand. The first Matana was the top of his hand was on the bottom, and that's why he spritzed it with his palm up, and the other way was with the palm down, but of the hand. But otherwise, but regarding where it was thrown, they were always thrown in the same direction. So our Gemara teaches us that on Yom Kippur, they did achas lamala v'sheva lamata. So the Maral explains what is the point that they did these eight, it's a total of eight zrikas, eight hazors. What's the purpose of eight hazors? So he goes back to explain that we know that the bris milah of every Jewish child, which is the first mitzvah that the Jewish child has done, is done on Yom HaShmini, on the eighth day. Why is it done on the eighth day? So he explains, because the number eight represents l'mala min hateva. Seven represents what we have in this world. There are 7 days to the week. And so too, there are seven. The number seven represents the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. But we want to teach every Jewish child that, as he's born, that we Klal Yisrael are not subject to the Teva. We Klal Yisrael are not locked into that. And therefore, he did Achas L'malo v'Sheva L'mato. Sheva is the regular, is the way the world works. But we Klal Yisrael are not connected to that. We're L'malo min hateva. And therefore, since we're L'malo min hateva, that's why we do Achas L'malo v'Sheva L'mato. I saw another pshat that just like on Hanukkah, there are eight candles that are lit on Hanukkah. So too, but the nace was primarily on the first day when they were able to find that oil, when they were able to prevail over the enemies. So too, what the Kohen Gadol is announcing as he's spritzing the dam in the Beis HaMikdash, Achas L'malo. Our main point in being the world is L'malo, to realize that this world is being run by L'malo, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else that comes afterwards, the Sheva, that come afterwards, L'mata, that's secondary. Primarily, we need to understand Achas L'malo. We always have to recognize the tremendous nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. Ask the Gemara. So the Gemara is still sticking to its point that we now have a precedent that the dam of a carbon is put in different places on the Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara v'loy. V'tanan. We're going to learn another Mishnah later on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, where the Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol mixed the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSor, and he put it on the corners of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Says the Gemara, he's a Mimenu, al Tarash HaMizbeach, Sheva Ponim. Says the Gemara, what's the definition of Tarash HaMizbeach? My love, a Palgan Mizbeach. On the upper half of the Mizbeach. Kri Amri Inshi, where do we take that? That's the definition of Tarash HaMizbeach. Says the Mara, as people always define Tor Tara. Tara means in the afternoon, Chatzois. Vu Palgan Yom, half the day. So we say that half, that since it has to be put on the upper half, and we can't put on the half. Now we can't make, the coin can't be sure that's going to be exactly in the midpoint of the wall of the Mizbeach. Some will be on the upper half and some will be on the lower half. So again, ask the Gemara, why are you saying that we have no precedent for some on the upper half and some on the lower half? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbah Shilaloi. That's not the way to understand that Mishnah. Rather, the way to understand that Mishnah is that all of the dam was put al gufei de Mizbeach, on the top of the Mizbeach, the Ksiv, and where do we see that Tarash HaMizbeach means the top of Mizbeach? Because the Pasuk says, V'yiru elkei Yisrov HaSachar Raglov, K'masa Livnas HaSaber, U'ke'etzem Shemayim L'toyar. The Toyar means the sky. So the Mar continues to discuss Rav Shimon HaMitzvah's opinion. Shimon Ish HaMitzvah's opinion. Mashna asked the Gemara. So he said there, Shimon Ish HaMitzvah taught us that when it comes to the application of the dam of the carbon tamid, so the first on the northeast corner, it was applied like the dam of a carbon oila, and on the southwest corner, it was done like the carbon chattis. Ask the Gemara, Mashna the Yav oila bereisha, v'ada Yav the chattis. If we have to apply the blood both like a carbon oila and like a carbon chattis, why did we do the oila before the chattis? Neisa bereisha the chattis, v'ada neisa the oila. Maybe reverse the order. First do like a chatos, and then do like the oil up. And the Sikh Yitzchak explains the Gemara's question, because the halach is that whenever one has to bring both a carbon oil and a carbon chatos, we always do the chatos before the oil up. Answers the Gemara, even though normally when we bring a chatos, as we just said, normally when you bring a chatos and oil up, we do the chatos, we bring the carbon chatos before we bring the carbon oil up. But here, let's remember, says the Gemara, this carbon oilihi. It is a carbon tamid, is really a carbon oila. And since it's really a carbon oila, he kadma bereisha. That's why it should be done that way first. Ask the Gemara another question. Why do we first go to the northeast corner and then go to the southwest corner? Nasiv Dromus Marachas, maybe we should go to the southwest corner, Fahadat Svinus Maravis, and then to the northeast corner. So I saw that the Rishonim explain, and if we would have said the other way, we would have asked the other way. Since the Kamchatas always starts with the southwest corner, therefore, here too, if we want to make it like a Kamchatas, that's why we should start with the southwest corner first. Amri, so which the answered, Oila Tuni Yisoid, the carbon Oila has to be put on a corner where there is a Yisoid, where there's base under it. And Karen Dramas, the Karen Dramas Lo Havala Yisoid. So since we're going to do the dam the way like a Oila first, and whenever we put the dam of the Oila on a Mizbeach, we have to put it on a spot on the Mizbeach where there's a Yisoid under it, we have to do it therefore the northeast corner first. Ask the Gemara. Maishna, the Yob Rashim is Rachat Svinus. Vahadam Maravas Dramas. Nasim Ravimus Dramas Vahadam is Rachat Svinus. Why do we do it in this order? Why don't we do it in the other order? In other words, the Gemara's question is, yes, you're saying that we should do the Euler application should be done on a corner where there's a Yisoid. But why do that corner first? Kivin Dam Amar. Says the Gemara, Kopinish at the point of Yehei El Derchimin Lemizrach, that you should always turn to the right side. And since the Kohen Gadol, as he's walking onto the Mizbeach, started on the south side, because the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach was on the south side, and he always has to turn to the right side, the first corner that he'll reach, Beresha Hupaga, so he's going to get to the northeast corner before he gets to the southwest corner. So here the Gemara is teaching us that Kol Pinah Shatapina, whenever you turn, you should always turn to the right side. So there are a number of places where Shulchan Aruch teaches us that we should apply this halacha. The halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says, in Simen Kuf Chav Ches, Sif Yud Zayin, is as the Kayin turn from side to side when they do Birchas Kahanim, they should always turn to the right first. Another halacha, which is taught in Simen Kuf Mem Aleph Siv Zayin, that if somebody is called up to the Torah for an Aliyah, he should always try to get to the Bima in the shortest, taking the shortest route possible. But if the route to getting to the Bima is equidistant, he should go to the right rather than to go to the left. Similarly, the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tuf Reish Nun Aleph Sif Yud says when it comes to Nanuim, when we shake the lulav on Sukkos, we should always shake to the right side first. And similarly, the halacha in Simen Tuf Reish Ayin Vav Sif Hei, that when we light the menorah on Chanukah, we should always start on the left, turning towards the right side. Always, because the halacha is Kol Pinah Shatapina Lehei El Derech Yemin. Ask the Gemara, as Rav Shimon Isha Mitzvah has been teaching us, that the carbon oilus atomid is unique, that we also do some of the avoida like we do by carbon chattas. Says the Gemara, based on the pasuk that we quoted earlier, where the Torah says, Sir Izim Echol L'chattas L'Hashem, Al oilus atomid Yosu V'Neska. Ask the Gemara, who says that the pasuk is coming to teach us that when we bring the karmat tamid, we should treat it like a karmat chatos? Maybe what the pasuk is teaching us, maybe the Torah is saying that when we bring the sir chatos for musaf on Rosh Chodesh, we should treat it somewhat like a karmat oila. Says the Gemara Leisalka Datach, it doesn't make sense to explain the pasuk that way. The ksiv, the pasuk says, V'sir izim echad l'chatus l'Hashem, al oilus atomid ye'osu v'niskoi. My kamrachmona, what does the Tosuk say l'chatus al oilus atomid? The Torah is clearly teaching us, midi d'chatus, the way we prepare a carbon chatus, shadi oilo. That's what we should do with this carbon oilo, but not vice versa.